Timothy chapter 1. The Apostle Paul says in verse 6, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou strip the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me as prisoner, but be thou content with the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. For who is saved is the cause of the holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. He says, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, wherein too I am appointed preacher, apostle, teacher of the Gentiles." Before this, the Apostle Paul writes Timothy and says that he had a great desire to see him, being mindful of the tears of Timothy. Paul wanted to embrace him and be back together, much like we have desired for several weeks. He says he also, as he thought about Timothy, he says, "I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in me, which first was," says, "in my young mother Lois and my mother Eunice." He said, "I'm persuaded that in thee also." He says, "I want you to remember that you're the spirit of the gift of God," he said, "which was in thee by the putting on of my hands." Verse 7, we'd like to draw our attention to this morning. Very well known verse. Paul says, "God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." If we want to bless us today, I'd like to look at the consequence of fear. And the consequence of fear. In the Word of God, there's really two types of fear. There's the fear of the Lord, which according to Proverbs chapter 1 says is the beginning of knowledge. And also he'll tell us it's the beginning of wisdom. There's also then the fear of man and circumstances. One is a reverential fear, and the other is a terror. The fear of God is a reverential fear, recognizing that he has great power. The Lord Jesus taught his apostles in Matthew 10 chapter. He says, "You're not to fear man, which can kill the body." He said, "But rather, we're to fear God, who can destroy both the body and soul in the fires of hell." I think the Lord Jesus summed it up there very plainly. Man may destroy our bodies, but God in heaven has control of both our body and our soul. And so we are certainly to fear the Lord. That doesn't mean that we're never going to be fearful as we live in this world. There are going to be things that occur, as we have seen over the past few weeks and months, that bring great fear. Here the Apostle says, God's not given us the spirit of fear. We may fear in a moment. David said, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." So there's no doubt there's going to be experiences in our lives where we're afraid. Here the Apostle makes it clear that the spirit of fear, that gripping spirit that brings a constant state of fear, that is not of God. I realize there are those in our culture today, whether they be in government, medicine, or politics, or media, that really thrive when you and I are in a spirit of fear. But that's not from the Lord. And so the fear that's gripped us as a nation and a world certainly is not of God. Now, one can be concerned, and one can be cautious. One can be wise, and one can use discretion, but not be gripped with a spirit of fear. So here again, the Apostle says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. And he's going to establish, as he goes on in this chapter, why it is that you and I should not have a spirit of fear. Notice what he says, that God, who has saved us and called
7 down to Lord rested, then chapter 3 comes along. And from chapter 3 forward, we find really this book of death. Adam brings death into the world. Chapter 4, the first murder is committed. Chapter 5 gives you 10 generations of men and tells you how long each of them lived. And we find only one man in that group of 10, a man by the name of Enoch, escaped this world not experiencing death. God says that he just took him out of this world in a world to come because he had this kind of testimony that he pleased God. He walked with the Lord for 365 years. He pleased God and said God took him out of this world, not by natural means of death. You know, the very last verse in Genesis chapter 50, the conclusion of the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, it concludes this way. They put Joseph in a coffin in Egypt. That's how Genesis ends up, a man being put in a coffin because of what Adam did in Genesis chapter 3. And so death has been in this world, obviously, since Adam sinned. But the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came to this world, he abolished death. And so the very worst thing that can happen to you and I, as the Lord told his disciples in Matthew chapter 10, he said, if men may kill our bodies, they may destroy our natural life in this world. But the Bible is very clear that the person who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, it's going to be dead. Yes, sir, it's dead. If he believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, he shall never die. Well, what does that mean? That means that a child of God is born of the Spirit of God. Thank you. each tribe, and every village spy on the land. And for 40 days and 40 nights, they spied on the land of Canaan, the land of promise. Now, the promised land had been promised to Abraham hundreds of years prior to that. There were 400 years prior to his God had made the promise. Reaffirm the promise to Isaac, reaffirm the promise to Jacob, reaffirm the promise to Joseph, and Joseph told the promise to the children of Israel. This is a firm promise that God had made to Abraham all the way back in Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, when Abraham went to heaven, went to earth, called as if you recall, he came to a place that people called Bethel, and God made it look to the north, the east, the south, the west, and said, look as far as you can. And God said, this is the land which I will give thee and give thy children for an inheritance. So if you're going to read how it grew out there, ruin this business. First of all, they see when they complain in Exodus chapter 13 about how hungry they are. See, in Exodus 13, they actually complain about water. They come to a place called Mar, where the waters were bitter. And they began to murmur against the Lord and against Moses. So God told Moses to take a tree, cast the water, water to make sweet. We find it by Exodus chapter 16. Remember, Exodus 14, they delivered over the Red Sea. Exodus 15, they began to sing the song of God's triumph. Then we come to Exodus chapter 16, and they began to murmur against God, saying they're hungry. They left out of Egypt with nothing but unleavened bread. They packed out all, and that's all they had in, prepared to buy themselves into their bills for themselves. And so, as they go out of that land, that unleavened bread has been diminished. It's no more. And so they began to wash out the flesh pots that were back over in the land of Egypt. And as they began to think back to the flesh pots, you know what they forgot about? They forgot about the hard bondage that they were in over Egypt. They just thought about the food they had over Egypt. And they forgot about their cries. They went up to God, and God heard their cries. They raised up Moses as a deliverer to them. You know, it's amazing how quickly we can forget the bad experiences that we had in past days when we began to murmur against the Lord. The children of Israel hear their murmuring, their complaining, and so God, what he did, he sent a manna, bread literally coming down from heaven. Psalm 78 says that manna ate angels' food. Imagine the mercy of God. He said they complained about the flesh pots that they left behind, so God, in his mercy, gives them that. Anyway, they go to the land of Canaan for 40 days, 40 nights, they're spies. As they spy out the land, they come back and give the report. They talk about the land flowing with milk and honey. They talk about all the goodness of the land, but there are walled cities. And the other spy says, but we were as grasshoppers in our sight before the giants of that land. So the children of Israel, they say, well, where are we going to go? The Bible tells us they spent that whole night complaining and crying to the Lord. The next day, they had to stand before the people and say, we made no less able. He says, we be well able. If God is on our side, sure, we're well able to inhabit the land. But the children of Israel, they were not hearkening to Caleb and to Joshua. And so that night, God has already determined they will not enter the land. And he announces to them that they will slave with the children of Israel. God had a prophet among the slaves, and a prophet in the king's house, and a prophet back over in Jerusalem. Not every single individual had been carried away captive, but few were left behind. God left a messenger for those left behind. He had a messenger for those in the king's house, and he had a messenger for those who were the servants of the king of Babylon. God is able to put a messenger wherever he desires, understand? Thank you. said, if you learn it not, you should be cast. The same hour in the midst of burning fire for us, who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? This man has got a lot of audacity. Read chapter 2. We can hold this in. See how God blessed that man. He had a dream. He couldn't remember the dream. So he called for all the magicians and the soothsayers of his land to come in and tell him the dream. Interpretation, or anything, tell me what I dreamt. yourself gripped with the spirit of fear, you turn to the Word of God. And you go and see the places where God gave great victories to his people who feared him rather than men or circumstances. I promise you, it will encourage you. I expect far more time in God's Word the past couple months than I have in many months combined. Let me tell you that I wasn't in the Word of God as much as I needed to be prior to this time. I tell you what, being in the Word of God as much as I have in the last couple months, it has strengthened me greatly. And I'll just say, turn to God's Word, read it, believe it, embrace it, and live it. And if you do, that spirit of fear will pass away and will be replaced with a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and will be replaced with a sound mind. May God bless you, baby.